Early this year, Governor Snyder sent shockwaves through the state's mental health care community when his proposed 2017 budget included changes in who would control the purse strings. The governor proposed taking much of the $2.4 billion mental health care system and switching that from public mental health organizations to private HMOs. A work group made up of state officials, mental health advocates, insurance industry representatives, state mental health providers, and others was formed to explore this issue. Last week, the group released a draft report that, in essence, sees the state reversing its course on shifting mental health funding, at least for now. With us is Kevin Fisher. He's executive director of the National Alliance on Mental Illness of Michigan. Kevin, the report that just came out is part one of two. It has 69 policy recommendations. What are the highlights for you? What's in there that you felt strongly had to be there?
Well, the highlights for us is really protecting the rights of consumers and caregivers to make sure we maintain some sense of continuity of care, that we maintain the person-centered planning and other aspects that we don't think the traditional HMO or medical model would recognize and know how to implement.
What about surprises? What was in there that if you and I were talking back at the beginning of this year when that proposed governor's budget came out, you would have been stunned that this made it into the set of recommendations?
You know, honestly, what surprises me most is that we've made it to this point and that we were able to come together and create this policy, you know, the 69 recommendations for the legislature to move forward. Because if you recall, when this bombshell dropped, many people assumed it was a foregone conclusion that the governor's recommendation was just going to happen and we wouldn't have a voice and the citizens' voices wouldn't be heard and we'd have no recourse. So the big surprise to me is that we've made it this far. I am always cautiously optimistic as we move forward that we will develop an alternative plan that will meet the needs of the people we serve.
Now, Kevin, you and other mental health advocates were ready to walk away from the work group earlier this year. Remind us why.
Well, you know, the concern was that the department wasn't negotiating in good faith. At the end of the day, it sounds a little harsh, but that's what our concern was, that we were not going to adhere to the principles of the original 298 work group, which you recall consisted of almost 130 people. And we met five times and we put a lot of work and sweat into that. And the message we were receiving from the department at the time was that all that work was for naught and that we were going to abandon those principles and move forward as if they didn't exist. And that's what we were willing to walk away from, because we have a responsibility to the citizens of Michigan, those who receive mental health, developmental and intellectual disabilities, those people who receive services, and even those who don't.
Now, when you say department, of course, you're talking about the Department of Health and Human Services. What changed?
Yes. Well, you know, first of all, I have to give a lot of credit to Lieutenant Governor Calley, because he immediately stepped in and assured us that those principles would be adhered to. The second thing that I have to do is honestly give credit to the people from the Department of Health and Human Services, because they listened. And I think one of the other big surprises that many Michigan citizens will get from this is that the Department of Health and Human Services leadership truly listened to what we feel is in the best interest of our citizens and the people we serve. And the temperature in the room really changed from that point moving forward.
Now, Kevin, there was, as we've alluded to, so much concern. You called that a bombshell among consumers of state mental health services and their families and service providers and advocacy groups just like yours, that the mental health care system in our state could fall into the hands of private for-profit HMOs. How do you feel now?
I'm cautiously optimistic that we will have some protections, and I'm still concerned because I'm just one of those people who doesn't believe it's over until it's over. You know, the old Yogi Berra saying, and I think we still have some work to do. And really, even though producing and agreeing upon these 69 policy recommendations, this is really just the beginning of the work, and it was hard. The next steps, when we're putting together and examining proposals, considering pilot programs, what service will look like going forward, that's really going to be the hard part, and that's really where the rubber's going to meet the road and determine if our voices have truly been heard and if we can deliver a system of care that's better than what we have but does not turn the system over to the HMOs. Because, again, quite frankly, today as we sit here, I don't think they're ready for it. I don't think they understand all of the nuances that go into building better lives for people who live with mental health, intellectual, developmental disabilities.
And is that the part two of the report that will be coming out next year? Is that what we're going to see, the idea of pilot programs and new ideas?
Yes, that's the part two that we are going to begin in January, accepting proposals and developing those pilots. And that part of the work plan is scheduled to be delivered to the legislature by March 15th now.
There was a lot of talk, and you and I have certainly spoken about this effort over the past year. And one of the things you and others have said is there could be more streamlining and consolidation in the system to make it more efficient. Where are you on that front?
I still believe that holds true. And, you know, I think that's one of the challenges that the private inpatient health plan managers and the community mental health executive directors across the state really have to take a look at. You know, I've had an opportunity to talk to Director Nick Lyon, who's the director, of course, over at the Department of Health and Human Services. And one of his concerns, and the reason he tells us that 298 was presented the way it was, is because the Department of Health, and let's just say the administration, was looking for the current system as we know it to always look to better itself, to reinvent itself. And we truly believe, and I would agree with him, and I think my fellow advocates do as well, that there is some opportunity to eliminate some of the administrative overhead and make the system run better and be able to reinvest some of those dollars back into the system of care. And the challenge is going to be for the people who are part of the current system to explore and deliver that, and not just assume that since we've gotten this far in this process that the status quo is going to be okay, because I don't think that's going to get the job done.
So that's the work that awaits you in the new year.
Yes.
And these are recommendations, these 69 recommendations in this first report. How likely do you think that they will proceed on the road and actually become policy?
Again, being the cautious optimist that I am, I really believe that most of, if not all of the recommendations will move forward. A lot of work, a lot of thought went into this process. You know, as I read the report, it was pointed out that we've held 44 meetings. That sounds like a lot, but when you consider the conference calls and the emails and everything that's transpired, a lot of really hard work, sweat, and tears has gone into these proposals. And I'm really proud of the fact that all of the people at the table, be it the advocates, the representatives from the Department of Health and Human Services, the administration, even the folks that represent the healthcare organizations, we all had to come together to create this document. And I'm very proud that we were able to do that, because the temperature in the room was pretty tough sometimes. But when we got down to voting about 2 weeks ago, it was actually a lot easier than I anticipated, because we had done the groundwork.
Lots of lessons to learn, isn't there?
It is. You know, I've had people call me, even people who are in the current system, and they've called and congratulated me, and they said, you won, we won. And we haven't won anything. This is just phase one. Phase two and three is going to be hard.
And we'll be watching and talking with you as that proceeds as we get into 2017. Kevin Fisher, Executive Director of the National Alliance on Mental Illness of Michigan. Kevin, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much. I look forward to talking to you again soon.